Welcome to Candid Catholic Convos, a program brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Harrisburg. Our mission is to humanize the Church and help you to grow in your faith, love, and understanding. I'm your host, Rachel Trochet, a cradle Catholic who's only human and struggled with faith on more than one occasion. Each week, you'll hear engaging, down-to-earth interviews and actionable strategies you can implement into your life with ease to help you grow closer to God. If you're ready to open your heart and step fully into the person God created you to be, then you're in the right place. Let's get started. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Candid Catholic Convos. Who else remembers the old Looney Tunes cartoons where one of the characters gets hit in the head with a frying pan, an anvil, a refrigerator, and suddenly has a wild idea? Just me. Sometimes those crazy ideas worked, other times they failed miserably, but every idea, no matter how crazy, was worth trying, even if it was only for comedic purposes. Not only was it hilarious, but it also served as a reminder growing up that sometimes God isn't subtle. You just have to be paying attention. Today, I'm excited to introduce you to one of our transitional deacons, soon to be ordained a priest in just a couple weeks, Deacon Clark Steitler, about his frying pan moment that led him to the priesthood. Deacon Steitler, welcome to Canon Catholic Convos. I'm excited to have you. I'm super excited about your upcoming ordination. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me.
So, as an introduction to those in the diocese who might not have gotten to interact with you yet, tell me a little bit about yourself, like where you're from, your parish, all that good stuff.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Let's see. My home parish is St. Pat's in Carlisle, and that's where I was at most recently before I entered in the seminary. But growing up, I grew up in Camp Hill, and so my parish growing up was Good Shepherd. And so went to Good Shepherd School, Trinity High School, graduated in 2003 is when I graduated there. And then after that, I went to LaSalle University out in Philadelphia. Yeah, so it was great growing up. My parents were awesome. Very blessed childhood growing up. I had two older brothers, and they're still kind of pretty local. We're all within about like a two-hour drive or so. And it was real cool as far as like growing up, I played like a lot of team sports, right? And so kind of family was like a team effort, helping each other out. And as far as I've gone, like in the seminary, journey and my discernment call, I've really seen the church as almost like that aspect of like team sports, right? We each have our unique role. We're each kind of helping each other out and kind of encouraging each other. And the goal is to get everyone to heaven. So that's kind of how I see it. That's kind of how I think. I like the idea of the team effort kind of thing. So
that's such a good analogy for that. It's like it's everybody participates in a team sports, even if you're sitting in the stand.
Yeah.
Like you get to cheer everybody on.
That's right. That's right.
And that's so funny that you and I have probably crossed paths at least once in our lives because I grew up and I went to St. Pat's the school.
Okay.
And then I graduated from Cumberland Valley in 2004.
Oh,
and
wow.
Went to Temple University.
Oh, no way.
So at some point, we probably, six degrees of separation. Yeah. That's pretty funny.
My mom and dad went to Temple. So
did they really?
There.
Oh, my goodness. I loved it there. Yeah. We never walked past a certain spot on Broad Street, but otherwise, it was a great experience.
Yeah, no way. Cool. Very cool.
So let's talk about your childhood. You mentioned that your family was pretty tight and you guys collaborated on getting everybody to team sports, which I'm a mom of three, so I know that struggle trying to figure out, like, when are we going to eat dinner? We eat dinner at 3 o'clock in the afternoon or at 9 o'clock at night, trying to get everybody around.
Yeah.
So talk to me a little bit about what it was like growing up.
Oh, yeah. Growing up was awesome. Like I said, it was a great childhood, and it was almost like it was such a great gift that I got that I kind of thought that's how my path would have been in my life. Obviously, that looks a little different, but yeah, grew up doing team sports, kind of played with some of the kids in the neighborhood a lot, had a good, like, core of, like, really, like, kind of close friends growing up in grade school and then in high school. And it's really awesome because we still are able to, like, keep in touch with each other. And so we're all kind of doing our different things, and that's been really awesome. Yeah, and then as far as kind of other stuff growing up, nothing too kind of like out of the ordinary or anything like kind of too wild. Just some things that kind of come to mind now as far as, you know, those close family things. I know there were a couple like non-negotiables. So my grandma and grandpa, they grew up, they lived in Carlisle, and that's where my dad was raised at. And one of the non-negotiables was to go visit grandma and grandpa every Sunday. And so absolutely super grateful for that. And my mom's parents, they lived out in Philadelphia, and then the Philadelphia area. So we tried to go there at least like once a month. Mm-hmm. But then you had the big like holidays, so like Christmas and stuff, Easter, obviously. And we tried to get together during the summer times too. So I had like a lot of like cousins too and everything. So aunts, uncles, we all tried to get together. It was always a fun time to kind of like be together and just hang out, you know. Nothing like too formal, just being together was the big thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Very like classic nostalgic childhood. That's awesome. Yeah. What about like, did you participate in any parish activities? Or did you altar serve? Did you do anything like that?
Sure. Yeah. I was an altar server at a Good Shepherd. So I guess whenever you're able to start is when I started, and that went through senior year of high school.
Nice.
Yeah. So yeah, I kind of did that. Played CYO basketball. You know, that was awesome time. We weren't the best. You should check the records. But we had fun time playing and practicing and stuff. And again, that's the idea of kind of like the team effort. And two, despite the fact that, you know, we didn't necessarily always win that many games, that's not necessarily, you know, kind of the goal. The goal was to kind of like learn about adversity, learn how to work with each other as far as, you know, coordinating and practicing and kind of that discipline. So,
yeah.
So, winning isn't necessarily everything. It's fun, but just kind of being able to kind of have that team effort type thing.
Exactly. So, yeah. You learn more about the journey that it took to get there than you do from the actual winning.
Yeah, and you kind of learn about yourself too.
Yeah.
Because when you personally have to deal with adversity, I mean, life is not, you know, as they say, it's not all sunshine and rainbows, you know. Stuff's going to happen. And kind of growing up, I didn't realize that much that my faith could help inform me with those things that you go through. So I didn't realize that till later in life. Praise God that the Lord was able to open my eyes to His the truth, beauty, and goodness of the faith that He wants everyone to know about.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's so important. Yeah. And it's, I love that you mentioned that it's something that you didn't quite come to till later, because like as kids, we always think about like the here and now, like how is this best going to serve me today? Mm-hmm. Whereas as adults, we have this ability to kind of see farther down the road and like, okay,
right.
How like your past decisions or your past experiences inform, and then coupled with faith informs how you push forward or what doors God's going to open for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right about that for sure.
So when I was growing up, mm-hmm. podcasting was not on my bingo card of what I wanted to be. I was going to be Steven Spielberg, and I was mm-hmm. going to be making all kinds of movies. And then I think at one point I wanted to be a photographer for National Geographic and take pictures of lightning. Was being a priest on your bingo card growing up?
No, it wasn't. It was definitely not on my radar at all. Not that I mean, maybe I thought about it, but it wasn't anything that I can kind of recall right now or anything. And I remember, I think it was a couple weeks ago, Bishop had confirmation masses down at St. Joe's in York, which is where is my deacon assignment's at. And he said it like perfectly. He's like, our God is a God full of surprises.
Yes.
And this was a very big surprise, very unexpected. But kind of looking back on it, it's been awesome, you know. And so it's the whole idea, again, I'm sure I heard it like when I was growing up, but it's become more real and I kind of understood it more that like God has a special, unique plan like for each person. And it makes sense because each person is so unique, irrepeatable, like that beautiful stuff like that. And I started learning that during like my discernment and the plan that God has for everyone. It's like if God is loving, and He is, God is love, and He wants people to be happy, it makes sense that the plan He has for each person is for their happiness. And so when I kind of got that, and again, it sounds kind of simple, but again, God is like simple, like in a good way, simple, true. And when you get that, I was like, wow, this is something else. So it took me about 33 years to kind of get that, but I'm glad that the Lord he drew me in His goodness and kindness, and His especially His mercy, kind of got me back. So I'm forever grateful for that, and that's something that I want to let people know about and kind of share, not only to people of the diocese, but people that I encounter kind of like every day, you know?
Yeah. That's a pretty impactful mission to be able to carry that and say, like, everybody that I speak to, I want to be able to.
Yeah.
To show that, you know, that we're not perfect and we're not without our own struggles, but right. that God is with us and present and working through us. And, and it shows when we interact with other people.
Right.
Yeah. So you mentioned you might have heard the call when you were a kid. Is there any kind of like specific instance where God just kind of like hit you over the head with a frying pan and was like, this is what I want you to do? Or was it more subtle, kind of building up to it? Like, how would you describe hearing the call?
Yeah, so that awesome question. So it's actually a combination of both of those. So the first thing was the frying pan that I got. Kind of a little background to how I got to that point. Kind of like many people of my age in that time, after high school, I did fall away from the faith for a little bit. I was not practicing, wasn't going to Mass on a consistent basis. And it wasn't that I, you know, didn't believe in God anymore. It was just I got distracted, indifferent, just didn't seem relevant to my life, like kind of that stuff. And that's something I still like kind of reflect on today. Like, Lord, like why wasn't I seeing what I see now? And I always think about it. It's not meant to be a place of discouragement or anything. That's a place that God works in everyone's life in such a unique way. And so that's something that I went through to see the beauty of the faith now. And for anyone like listening to this, whether like I went to like grade school with y'all or went to high school with y'all and you might be in that same boat still, I mean, like, please, like, come back, give the faith a second chance. Like, come back home. That's what the Lord wants, like, so very much. And so the big turning point for me was going back to Mass, but confession. The sacrament of penance was an absolute game changer for me. So I was working at the time, and I had recently moved back to Carlisle. And again, I kind of felt, like, drawn to go back to Mass. I don't know exactly why, but it just kind of maybe felt like something was missing. And I was like, yeah, I'll go to Mass, give that a try again. And I remember thinking, again, because I was in Carlisle, I was like, well, if it was good enough for Grandma, it's good enough for me. Because she used to go to daily Mass there and everything, and which is cool. And so, yeah, I go back to Mass for a couple weeks. I was like, oh, this is great. I kind of maybe probably more mature. You know, the gospel, you know, kind of made a little more sense to things that was going on in my own life. And so I could kind of apply it to that. But then after a couple of weeks, I was like, oh, I was like, I think I need to go back to Sacrament of Penance, go to Reconciliation. And it took me a couple of weeks to build up the courage to do that, because it wasn't easy, because I was being knucklehead for about like 10 to 12 years. And so I make it back to confession. And I will never forget what the priest said when I was in there. So kind of like start up, you know, do the sign of the cross. And I said, it's been, and I forgot how long it's been. And so I was like, is it okay if we like kind of bracket how long it's been or like estimate? He chuckles very similar to that. I chuckle. He's like, yeah, we can do that. That's quite all right. And I was like, I think it's been about 10 to 12 years. It could very well be 14 years, but I'm not sure. And I'll never forget what he said. He said, welcome back, brother. And at that point, I knew that that was Christ. That was Jesus welcoming me back to the sacrament. You know, for all the knucklehead stuff that I was doing for during those past years. And I kind of understood, again, it's something that, you know, I learned when I was younger, what a sacrament is. But right there, I knew that was a part. That was an encounter that I had with Jesus and He forgiving me of all my sins. And leaving that confessional was, I'd never felt it just so light. You know, you kind of feel like you're floating a little bit, you know? And so this was before the Saturday night Mass. And so I was like, you know, I might as well stick around for Mass. And so I'm praying my penance in the pews, and all of a sudden, like, the thought of, like, priesthood was on my mind and, like, in my heart, like, out of nowhere. It was, like, very clear, but just that. I was like, this is strange. I was like, what's going on? And, like, I'm kind of a goof, so I kind of, like, look behind me. I'm like, no, I'm the only one sitting here, and there's no one saying anything. And during that Mass, I never really paid that much attention to what was going on, to the beauty of the Mass, to exactly what the priest's role was in that. And I was just, like, kind of, like, really locked in. And again, it wasn't anything that I was doing. This was a gift that I was given by the Lord, like, coming back to that sacrament, being drawn back to Mass. That wasn't anything I did. It was a gift of the Lord drawing me back there with His grace. And yeah, so that was kind of the big moment where that was kind of placed on my mind. And over the next 2 weeks, even when I was at work, I was still thinking about this. Like, it's like I couldn't shake it. It was strange. It was like a cool thing. But as far as where I was at in my life, I'm like, this timing is odd, because I had my own place. I had a job that I really loved. And like, things were kind of working out the way kind of I thought they would. And then this happened. I remember I talked to a priest. He was unbelievably patient. He was great. And when I told him my story, he was like, wow, that's good. He goes, keep on doing what you're doing. Let's talk again in 2 months. And he says, there's two things though that you might find helpful. He said, one, he's like, there's an adoration chapel here. He goes, if you have a chance, you know, kind of go in there, pray before the Lord. And I kind of didn't, I remember going to adoration when I was little. I was like, I don't know what to do. He's like, just go. Don't worry about anything. Just sit with our Lord and pray. And as far as prayer, being in conversation with God. So all those like kind of confusions, the timing things, I ended up kind of bringing that to the Lord. And going to the adoration chapel, like after work, just for like 5 minutes, 10 minutes. So that was kind of like a gradual thing, because I didn't have like a solid like prayer life at that point. So that's something I was building up. And then he gave me a book, and I remember as he handed it to me, like I read the bottom, I was like, huh, that's strange. I don't know how this would be helpful. But it was a story about a priest being locked up in a Soviet labor camp for about 23 years in the Soviet Union. And it was a story of Father Walter Chizik. And so it turns out he's on the road to sainthood, which is awesome. But it's a story about divine providence, meaning God's plan for each person's life, kind of trusting God, and the fact that whether we realize it or not, that God is in our life and kind of working with us. And that really like hit my heart when I was reading through that, because a lot of it was stuff that I was going through, and it was an absolutely beautiful thing. And so then we get to the gradual part. That was the frying pan. Part two is the gradual part over the next 2 years. I'm kind of a deliberate like type person. Again, I don't necessarily like to rush into things. But during those 2 years, I became more involved at the parish. There was like a parish weekend retreat that I went on. Started going to the men's group on Saturday morning, which was huge, like helpful. Knowing that, you know, again, it's the team effort. You know, I wasn't just on an island struggling with things that I did or other people. Like, that the faith is real and that it can kind of, like, help you and everything. Because that's what, again, that's what the Lord desires, everyone's happiness. And, yeah, helping out at the local, like, food bank, the overnight shelter. Things, like, I never even would have thought of kind of doing. And I think it was kind of stretching my heart and the generosity to see, you know, just being with people and helping them out kind of in their struggles. And the other one thing, too, that I had, I was at the time, I was working as an assistant district attorney down in Chambersburg. So I was a criminal prosecutor. At that same time, when I was discerning, I was offered a job at the public defender's office. So the public defender, those are the attorneys that represent folks that get charged with crimes that either are in jail or can't afford an attorney. And so I worked in that office for about like 8 or 9 months. And I think that that is a place that that the Lord really wanted me to be at that time, because I became so much more empathetic, more sympathetic to what people go through on an everyday basis. And it was something that really kind of opened my eyes. And then one last thing about the gradualness. I know I'm talking a lot.
No, so, that's fine.
One part thing about the gradualness is that every time that I prayed before the Blessed Sacrament and saying, like, Lord, I just don't know. There are so many better, like, men that could do this. Like, kind of like, why me? Like, someone else? And there was just this sense of, like, you know, kind of peace. When I had a sense of that I am unworthy to live up to this call, Lord's like, don't worry about it. Like, I will help you out in this. And boy, oh boy, do I take him up on that. Because I got to the point where I'm like, all right, Lord, this is your idea. I trust you. I absolutely love you. You know me better than I know myself. You know I'm going to be asking for help every morning or for anything, like, kind of going through. And he's, not surprisingly, he's lived up to his end of the bargain. And there was one thing, too, when I was discerning, and it kind of put me a little over the top, was I think it was for the Feast of the Annunciation. And I was out of town, and this one priest said in his homily, he said, God is not going to send you out on a mission and then abandon you. And I was sitting there, I was like, huh. Again, it was the simple things that were very helpful. And so after a period of, like, you know, praying with Scripture and stuff, and I have to also, too, talk about Our Lady. My devotion to Our Lady was absolutely huge. She is an amazing, awesome mother who's always there to kind of help out. And so those are things that kind of led up. And again, it was gradual. It wasn't like, oh, like priesthood right there. It was, oh, I think I should talk to my pastor. Oh, I think, okay, maybe I should, you know, kind of do something else. Then you get the application. Then you're like, okay, I think I'm called to seminary at least to give it a try. So it's kind of like a gradual, like, type thing as far as that was. It wasn't just like, oh, this is definitely it, you know? So
yeah.
Hopefully that makes a little bit of sense.
It absolutely does, because I'm thinking about my own life as you're talking about this, because mm-hmm. like I can't even go spontaneously go shopping. I'm like, listen, I'm not going to drop however much money on a pair of pants or a shirt or an outfit unless I am, like, totally sure. So hearing you say that, like, you're the type of person who, like, needs to know where all the pieces are, it's, like, refreshing, because I'm the same type of person. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny that you mentioned that confession was one of those, like, frying pan over the head moments, because when I was talking to Deacon St. Dennis, he said the same thing.
Yeah.
And there's at least two instances in my life where it was the same thing. Like, for some reason, I felt drawn back to confession. And then it was just like a light bulb moment.
Yeah.
And to know that that sacrament, that we have access to that sacrament and that is that powerful,
right,
is something that we should take advantage of more often.
Right. Yeah. And to let people know about it. Like, God's mercy and his love for everyone is incredible.
Absolutely.
It's incredible, yeah.
And that, and just going to confession just can kind of open any kind of door. For me, it was motherhood, because mm-hmm. the first time I went back to confession, I don't know why I keep hitting this poor microphone, but we were struggling with infertility, and I was mm-hmm. like so mad at God. And I remember going to confession because I didn't know how else to get in touch with him, even though, like, I know I could have prayed, but I just felt so distant from him that I went to confession and I'm like yelling at this poor priest about how I felt like I was sinning because I was so angry with God. And he looks at me, like you said, like the thing you'll never forget, the one I got was, trust me, God can take it and he's gonna reward you for it. And sure enough, now I have three boys, and I had them back to back to back. That was God being like, here you go.
Beautiful.
So it was one of those moments where it's like, if we can just stop talking and let God do his thing and just trust him that everything is going to work out in the end.
Yeah.
That's just, I love hearing you say that. So let's talk about some doubts and concerns, because like, when I think of seminary or entering religious life, like I am not a perfect person. Mm-hmm. Like, none of us are.
Right.
But when you think of somebody who's in seminary or religious life, you almost like hold them up on this pedestal of holiness.
Sure.
So what were some doubts or concerns that you had in the discernment process, like before you got to, or even in seminary, like once you were there?
Yeah, one of them was, it was that very thing. I didn't think I was good enough. I thought there were much better people out there. I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? I don't get it. So I did have that kind of concern. But again, that concern was kind of like alleviated through prayer and everything, and like kind of reading scripture, because a lot of the scripture, when people, folks in the Bible get called, they have similar reactions. Like Moses, he had a similar reaction. He's like, nah, I don't think I can do this. Like, ask someone else. And so there's a couple other instances like that. Another one I had, I thought I was a little too old. So this is like a second calling for me in my life. I kind of alluded to earlier, kind of like my work career. And so I was working for about, I think about 7.5 years, might have been up around 8 years. And I was like, I'm 32 or whenever it was. I was like, I kind of thought that you always had to be like younger for it. And then that was, you know, a little bit old. And one of the awesome things was that I go to Mount St. Mary Seminary down in Emmitsburg. So Emmitsburg is about like a 15-minute drive south of Gettysburg. And as I was driving down there, and it was the first day, and you're like kind of meeting everyone, it was a Sunday night, and the first couple guys I meet down there have very similar stories that I do. They're kind of older. They had like a calling and everything. It was one of those deals where I was like, oh, I see what you're doing, Lord. So he'll always put people in your life that he may be trying to speak through, or that he's trying to give you like a consolation. And so that's one thing I kind of started learning too. As far as any other kind of doubts or concerns, it was just that, again, it was so like off the radar, out of left field. I was like, is this really like the Lord like calling me? Is this kind of something else, you know? Is it my idea? And then I was like, well, no, this definitely wasn't my idea. It was something like divine. Like, and not to say that like in a crass way or anything, because it was awesome. But it was one of those things, kind of like in prayer, like a lot of people always ask good questions when we go to schools or if I talk family or friends, like, how do you know that that's the voice of God? Or that it's the Lord, like, talking to you, like, in prayer, which is an absolutely awesome question. I think one thing that's very helpful is that that voice of the Lord, it will always be accompanied with, like, peace, joy, patience, kindness, kind of like what St. Paul talks about there. There won't be any, like, kind of discouragement or kind of, like, heaviness, if you know what I mean, kind of stuff like that. So that's kind of one way to be able to like kind of discern the voice of the Lord. And I know like Saint Ignatius talks a ton about that as far as like discernment of spirits and being able to do that. So yeah, those were kind of some kind of like concerns, kind of like some doubts. But again, I was pretty confident that the Lord was at least calling me to like go to seminary. And then when I got there, even after like the first like couple weeks and stuff, it just felt, I don't know, it kind of felt right, you know? I didn't feel like overburdened, didn't feel anxious. It just seemed like, huh, I can't believe this. This is like, it was accompanied with that peacefulness, but there's still like the everyday like kind of like burdens and stuff. So that doesn't necessarily go away. It's not like it's constant peace, constant joy, you know? And joys doesn't always necessarily look like, you know, kind of like bubbly and stuff, you know, you can still have that inner peace and inner joy, despite, you know, certain things going on in life, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I love that you were able to really listen to God's call and pivot, because we're never really too old to dream a new dream or like have a new goal.
Right.
Like,
right.
I think that's important that you were able to hear that and be like, I still have breath in my lungs. I can do this.
Right.
That's
right.
Really cool.
Yeah.
So talk to me about seminary.
Sure.
You mentioned that you were you were among good company because there were other older guys there, but you know, walking into seminary as an experienced adult,
mm-hmm.
how was that for you? How was the seminary experience over? I mean, you mentioned that you had a background as an attorney, yeah. So I'm sure the academics wasn't so overwhelming for you.
Yeah.
Like having been an attorney first, going to the law school is like intimidating enough. So talk to me about that whole experience.
Sure. Yeah. Like I said, I was a little nervous, and I was still nervous even the first, like, kind of couple of days, because you have, guys that you, like, kind of meet, and they've been, like, super faithful, like, since day one. And I think that's so cool that they're able to be able to do that and the love for our faith. And that's such an amazing call, the guys that start from, like, after high school or even, like, right after college or, like, in college. I mean, I think that is absolutely an amazing thing. And so there was a little kind of nervousness, like, wow, they, like, really know their faith. They know, like, so many, like, characters in the Bible, stuff that, like, I didn't know, because I was playing a game of, like, catch up. And so when I was discerning, I was like a sponge, just, like, soaking up, like, all the beautiful, like, treasures of our faith that I'd either forgotten about or just never took the time to, like, kind of look at after, like, high school, you know? And so that was a little bit, maybe a little bit of nervousness there, thinking like, wow, these guys know so much more than I do. But after talking to them and you get to know them, you're like, oh, they're just regular guys like everyone else, you know? And so being a little older, though, I thought, you know, it was different. I didn't know what to expect. But again, the Lord has given me a great gift to be there during these 6 years at the Mount. So I'm the youngest brother of three. And so I've never been an older brother. I know what it looks like to be a good older brother because of my two older brothers that have helped me out. And so now, like, the Lord gave me that opportunity to, like, kind of be an older brother to some of these guys there. And so that's kind of been, like, a pretty cool thing there. And then other stuff during, like, seminary, it's awesome. They have a huge emphasis down there on Eucharistic adoration, which is fantastic. And then big on the Marian devotion on there. So for me, my thing was trying to have that solid foundation for my prayer life, because that's where it all starts for anyone trying to pursue holiness, but most especially for men being formed to be priests, or for women who are studying for the religious life and being formed there. It'll tell you, it all starts with prayer. And so you have to have that, like, solid foundation, because if that's not there and then things happen during life or during the day, it could be difficult for a little bit. So that was a big, important thing. As far as what a regular day looks like there, it could look pretty similar to, like, a high school or college as far as, like, classes kind of, like, during the day. But then obviously in that we have pray as a community together in the morning, and then around 5 o'clock at night, so like morning prayer, evening prayer. And then too, there's opportunities for a little bit of like recreation as far as like playing soccer or basketball. So those are things that I was familiar with kind of like growing up. But like the big like main focus of like seminary life is to like study and pray. So study, because you can get to know God through study, is what we do, so we can share it with the people of the diocese, and to pray to, you know, foster that relationship and to build that up and to give people a true, genuine, you know, witness of what the faith is, you know, so.
Absolutely. Like you, right. I love that you mentioned soaking it up like a sponge, because mm-hmm. then you can kind of disperse it out throughout. I think that's so important that you don't know what you don't know, but the mm-hmm. more you know, the better you can serve.
Yeah, the more you know. It's like those old commercials back on
the more you know.
Saturday morning cartoons. That's right.
Or like the G.I. Joe commercial where it used to be like, now you know, and knowing is half the battle. Mm-hmm. G.I. Joe. Mm-hmm. Like,
That's right.
I'm showing my age here, but it's all good. So what surprised you about going into seminary? Like what do you say some of your biggest misconceptions about entering seminary were that were kind of dispelled?
That's a really good question. That's hard for me to answer a little bit, because I didn't really know that much about, like, I knew seminary is where guys go to be formed and to be studied for the priesthood. Again, I guess maybe one of them was like, oh, these guys are like a lot better, a lot more holier than I am. But again, it's like anything. It's just regular guys, but they've been called in a special way to, you know the Lord better in order to like serve the church. And knowing that, you know, again, just kind of regular guys that you're kind of meeting and hanging out with. But yeah, that's a good question, because I didn't have too much experience with like seminary life or heard like kind of too much about it. So it was kind of, you know, kind of what I expected. Definitely busy, a busy schedule, but that's good because, you know, you need that to have that discipline and to be able to kind of be ready for whatever happens like in parish life, right? Because like a priest, sometimes you'll get those emergency calls or things are going to come up. And that's very much so like being a parent, right? Because you don't know like if your child's going to get sick or kind of what's going on, or if you have to go to school to pick them up. So just having that, you know, knowing that it's more than you. It's not all about you, that we're learning to be servants for the church and to have a generous heart. So it's kind of like one of the things that St. John Vianney said. He's the patron saint of parish priests. And he has a famous quote that says, the priesthood is the heart of the love of Jesus Christ. And so that's kind of one thing that I always like kind of go back to. But yeah, in seminary too, I guess one other thing is that, you know, they have like these different, they call them like dimensions. And so they're not as important as it is to work on your prayer life and the academics. There's two other things that they focus on too. Like, it's called human formation. And so that's to, you know, make sure that you're, you know, like kind of exercising, eating well, stuff like that, getting enough sleep. So kind of like taking care of yourself a little bit. And then they have pastoral formation. So that's where they have the guys either go out like on assignment on a week, and you deal with like different situations that a priest would have to do. So like kind of teaching is one of them, going to visit the sick and those in the hospital. And so you learn how to kind of meet people where they're at and be able to bring that light of Christ to where they're at in certain situations. So, yeah.
I love that they incorporate, you know, human formation.
Yeah.
Because I think that that's so often overlooked, that like mm-hmm. we are spiritual creatures. We're physical, yeah. We're mental, we're spiritual. And if mm-hmm. you stop taking care of one of those aspects of your yeah. human person, that everything else will falter.
You can get off balance.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Or that's like, right. Like you can't pour from an empty cup. So mm-hmm. if you're not taking care of yourself, then you're lacking the energy and you're lacking, mm-hmm. you know, the motivation to continue in the work. And that's right. That's I think that's a really important aspect that I wish like other institutions would incorporate, of like how to be a human being, like yeah. well, you got to take care of yourself first,
yeah.
or like when you're on an airplane mm-hmm. and they say to put your oxygen mask on first before you help somebody
yeah,
else,
yeah, right.
So it's that's really important to remember, and that's a really cool aspect. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned you were in seminary for 6 years.
Yep, it's going to be 6 years coming up in 2 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's what I say.
So talk to me about what's different about the you that entered seminary 6 years ago versus the mm-hmm. you now that's about to be ordained. What's different and what's the same?
Okay. A great question, because it's very, like, reflective. And, again, it's to see what the Lord has been doing in my life and how he's been helping me, and knowing that I haven't been doing it on my own. It's with his like grace and kind of being open to that. Right. And so I think one thing is that I think I've, and I hope people will be able to see this and agree that at least kind of the more kind of like generosity, I think I've kind of opened up like a little bit with that. And two, just to kind of, to be able to like kind of be like a servant, you know, and that's kind of what it is. Again, I think I always go back to like, right, the parent analogy. It's like the parents, like moms, dads, like you live for your children, you sacrifice for your children, you do anything for them. And so that can be kind of transferred and likened to like what a priest does, to learn that, you know, again, like where you're going to be at, like with whatever parish assignment, that is who you're going to sacrifice for, as far as like spiritual things, things that a deacon would do, a priest would do, or even a seminarian would do there during a summer assignment. So that's one thing, to be able to like kind of realize that. And another thing too is that just like my prayer life, the Lord has really given me a desire to, you know, want to know Him better, to want to know His church better. And not only His church, but like everything about it, the people of His church. So there's one teacher at the Mount, he tells us. And when he first said this, it hit me. I was like, man, he's right. He said, you know where most of the church is at? Most of the church is in heaven. It's the saints in heaven. It's most of the church. We have the people here on earth, but that's where most of the church is at. And I was like, that is so cool. So we have a lot of like great like intercessors, people like rooting us on. And again, going back to that like team effort thing, is that there is so much help to be able to want us to get to like where we were literally born, meant to be, you know, for our final place. And yeah, that's been good. As far as some things that I'm kind of like the same, I mean, I still like my Philadelphia sports.
Yes.
Yeah. So the
Eagles, the Phillies.
Yeah, Eagles, Phillies. Yeah, do that. So obviously I don't have as much time to be able to like kind of watch those, that stuff. But that's a good way, though, to engage with like parishioners or whoever you're there. They can kind of fill you in. That's no slight on any of the Pittsburgh fans. I did live out in Pittsburgh for 4 years. So they do have a little place. More the Pirates so than anyone else, but their love for their sports teams is good. And so it's cool too. Again, it's kind of what I grew up with. And some people are like, oh yeah, because sometimes there's that tension between like sports and like church. And it would be awesome if kind of, again, one thing that changed, like I like probably love like Philadelphia sports a little too much, but my love has been focused to like the church and everything. So I'm sure there's some like cool way, like, again, there's nothing wrong with, you know, having your like favorite sports teams and stuff, but that energy, that love, that passion you have for your favorite sports team, if you have that passion there for that, you can have that same passion for the church and for the Lord and what He does. And again, it's like that encounter kind of with Christ and just being able to see how relevant our faith is for what we go through, and to help kind of like explain, to see with the eyes of faith, like what goes on in our world, I think is something too that has been a little more kind of different from when I entered to kind of where I'm at now.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So.
And about the sports, like the amount of people that I saw wearing Eagles jerseys on the Super Bowl Sunday to church, like I was like, that's hilarious. Yeah. And then we got the wins, and it's all good.
Yeah.
But I love what you mentioned about like if you have passion for this, you can have passion for Christ and the church. And it's such an important thing to remember, like even as a parent, and like I try to talk to my kids about this, but like if we can make time and rearrange and move mountains for sports schedules, then we can carve out an hour of time to go to Mass, or half an hour to go to adoration, or 15 minutes to say the rosary, or like open this, like it's there.
Yeah.
We can, you know, we're able to make it happen for other things. This is something I'm constantly reminding myself of like if I can rearrange the world to make an appointment happen, then I can sure enough like block out time for something, like put it on the calendar, make it a non-negotiable. It's difficult when you think about it, but once you start doing it regularly, it just becomes habits. Like it's not a question anymore that like we're going to church at this time on Sunday. It's like, oh, my friend wants me to come out and play. Nope, we got church. You can see your friend after. Like that's it's putting it into practice and just making it work.
Yeah.
But so talk to me about now as a deacon, like what kind of things do you get to do as a deacon? Like, what's your favorite part of ministry so far? And what are you looking forward to as those, I don't know if privileges is the right word, but like responsibilities, grow once you become a priest.
Yeah. I think one of my favorite things that I've done as a deacon is to be able to baptize children, be able to baptize kids. It's a very beautiful moment. A lot of it really brings like a lot of family together, and kind of like what's going on in that moment. There's just when we talked about joy earlier, like you could tell, like it's a very joyful occasion. People are getting together for that, and that's an absolute blessing to be able to do that, and to kind of talk a little bit about like why that sacrament of baptism is so very important. The other things, you know, it's been again another blessing to be able to like proclaim the gospel. Oh my gosh, like who am I to be up there to be proclaiming the gospel? And I was thinking the other day, I was talking to someone, I was like, how many times do you think this gospel has been proclaimed, like since it's been written down or since it's been talked about? And it's like an amazing thing to think about. And so to proclaim the gospel and then to be able to have the opportunity to give a homily about it. And again, it's one of those things to try to be able to relate what is being proclaimed in the gospel and how that it is like relevant to people's, you know, their joys, their thanksgivings, but also their anxieties and their sufferings and stuff. So there's a lot of great things that we can learn from there, from the gospel's great. And just being, you know, to be able to assist during Mass, during liturgy of the Eucharist, to be able to, you know, hold up the precious blood at that one moment during the Mass, right before everyone says Amen, that's amazing. And two, you know, kind of get to know the people. You know, you have to be able to know the folks where you're at to be able to, like, make the faith relevant, right? And so that's been really awesome. And then you have the kind of some of the other things, too. You know, just being able to visit, like, schools, if you're able to do that. And especially, too, visiting the bring communion to, like, the homebound folks in the hospital and everything. Because that can feel very isolating, that they're not like at church. And we always remind them, it's like, listen, just because you're not like physically there, because you cannot be, that doesn't mean you're not part of this church family. That doesn't mean you're not here. So we try to like kind of catch up on like what's going on as far as what's going on in the church, or like different like saints' feast days or stuff that's been like kind of going on, to kind of, you know, kind of keep them in the loop and everything. But yeah, I think that's about it. At least I can remember. I mean, there's so many like great blessings, and one of the biggest blessings that that I've come to know a little more. And again, it's just the people's generosity towards the seminarians, towards the deacons, towards the priests is absolutely incredible, and especially everyone's prayers. That is something that I don't know if I'll ever be able to like describe my gratitude and thankfulness for that. And it's absolutely amazing. And so that's one thing too, that I know that being lifted up in prayer by everyone that's like doing that, like prayer is, it's the real deal. It's powerful. And we're all like united in prayer. And again, I would just kind of encourage everyone like kind of listening to this, like, never give up on prayer, never give up on hope, whether or not it's like family members or people that have fallen away from the faith. Like, keep on praying that they will be drawn back, that their hearts will be opened up, and just, you know, pray for anything, you know? But that's just kind of one thing that comes to mind. I'm just so grateful for that, yeah.
I love that. Yeah. That's amazing that prayer is so impactful, mm-hmm. that I don't think we give it enough credit sometimes. Yeah. But I love that we're going to be offering holy hours for each of you guys before you get ordained, which I think is pretty incredible. Yeah. So people can come and show up and like really as a community, like lift everything up in prayer. I think that's going to be a really powerful moment. You're about to be a part of our presbyterate. What are some places of opportunity that you see as like a new or a different way to evangelize that you hope to kind of bring with you?
Man, that's a good one. I like that question. You know, a lot of it will depend, like, kind of where I'm at, you know, as far as kind of that goes, because different places will have kind of different opportunities. I don't know. Sometimes I think, again, because, like, my background, again, working as a public defender, I think there's great opportunity for, like, kind of prison ministry to bring that light of Christ to folks that are there. And to be able to help them out. There's so much. That's one that kind of comes to the top of my mind. Just the idea of like teaching and giving people the kind of whole, almost like the big picture questions. And that could be like in a conversation. That could be in a more formal setting of like a classroom kind of type thing. But the whole idea of like, who we are, why we're here, like where we're going. Like it's not just random. And I know that because I've kind of gone through that experience. So the whole idea of like God has created us in his image and likeness, that we're created out of love, that he created each person for a particular reason, and that each person was created in a way that he thought we would like. Or kind of something like that, you know? And knowing that love, kind of getting the basics done first. Because I think sometimes it's easy to jump to try to do, like, calculus before you know how to do addition. And so to have kind of that, like, creation, like, basis done first and that Christian anthropology, I think is super important. And so to be able to, kind of that kind of, like, kind of teaching and just kind of get back to, like, basics first before you get into like the kind of more technical things, if that kind of makes sense.
You gotta learn to walk before you can run.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what are you most looking forward to as a priest? Like what's on your heart and your mind as the countdown continues towards ordination?
So it's funny because that comes with again when I started seminary, it was hard to believe that I was doing that. And now that we're getting, as someone once said, you dangerously close to ordination, like kind of in a funny way, you know? And, I think I'm looking forward, before we get there, it has its, you know, nervousness, its excitement, but that like level of peace is like kind of still there, you know? Cause the Lord's not going to send you on a mission and then abandon you. And seeing what he has done in my life for like the past 8 to 10 years, I know that, you know, he'll be with me no matter where I'm at and everything. So I very much so look forward to that. The fact that like knowing that the Lord is going to be with me and everything as he is with everyone, whatever they're doing. Looking forward to most, definitely celebrating Mass, celebrating the Holy Eucharist is going to be something that's probably beyond words to be able to describe that. Outside from that, definitely the sacrament of reconciliation. A big thing for me is that, again, the forgiveness and mercy that the Lord extended to me in my life and what he has done in my life, I want people to know that that is available to everyone. That is not just limited to a certain amount of people. It's for everyone, and that's what the Lord wants. And to be able to figure out the best way to like let people know about that, I think would be like awesome. But the first step is to having kind of that encounter, that meeting with Christ in the sacraments, because they're so very powerful. Like that's what makes Catholicism awesome, is the sacraments. The sacraments are huge, and there is no sin that the Lord can't forgive, you know. And so it's something beautiful. So I look forward to that. There's probably a lot of other stuff too that I look forward to, just to be able to, you know, again, going back to the team sports thing, almost like a coach, not necessarily, maybe like a coach, but to be like really encouraging, let people know that like you can do this stuff, you know, it's not, you know, don't get bogged down on the stuff. You fall down, you get back up again. The Lord has so many graces so you can like live out like each person's call to holiness. So it's something that's meant for like each and every person. It's not limited to anyone. And so to try to get that, to be able to tell people about that, and to, again, just get people to heaven the best way we can, kicking and screaming, pull them along, you know. But, yeah, it's definitely a team effort. So yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Now, last but certainly not least.
Sure.
What would you say to someone who is about to enter seminary or discerning mm-hmm. seminary, wondering if they've gotten hit in the head with that frying pan, or if they just are just starting to hear the call? What would your advice be to them?
Sure. First thing would be, you know, take that to prayer. So part of what prayer is we talked about before, like kind of a conversation with God. And, you know, as beautiful and awesome as the Our Father is, the Hail Mary in those prayers, those help us to get us in a better disposition of who we're talking to and who's present. But you can bring those like concerns or anxieties or like feelings of unworthiness, like bring that to prayer, bring that to the Lord, and, you know, pray with scripture. I definitely recommend that, kind of like Alexio, like Divina, kind of type thing. That's huge. Adoration. If you're able to, like, keep on going to daily mass. Tons of graces there just by listening to scripture, then receiving the Eucharist. And those are like two big things, because as far as discerning and call to priesthood, that's what you're going to be doing a lot of. So you have to learn how to, like, not necessarily learn, but discover your love for the Mass and your love for prayer. And that would be a very good starting point. If you could see yourself like living that out on a daily basis, then maybe there is like a good call for there. As far as other things, like turn to Our Lady, turn to Mary. She's there to help you out. Someone told me before, and this would work for like anyone, any young people trying to learn what their vocation is, what their calling is, pray three Hail Marys before you go to bed to Our Lady. And just asking her to help guide you on what your vocation might be. And she'll help guiding you either to her son or kind of helping you out in your own kind of unique way. Prayer, Our Lady, adoration. And then too, you know, talk to a priest or talk to, you know, like a sister. Ask them about their vocation story or kind of how they thought that they were like kind of being called. But if there's always that like kind of sense of like, despite feelings of unworthiness, despite feelings of, I don't think I can do this, if that sense of peace is there, that could be a sign too, if you can kind of see yourself living out that particular thing. But again, it could be gradual too. Don't think you gotta like decide like right now, you know. Don't put any pressure on yourself. Again, that wouldn't be, we talked about like kind of discerning prayer. Any sort of like kind of pressure, stuff like that, certainly wouldn't be accompanied with kind of what you're thinking about. So, yeah.
Well, Deacon Seitler, thank you so much for joining me. I'm super excited for your ordination.
Thank you.
This is going to be so good. And I'm so excited for the people of the diocese to get to meet you and interact with you. And thank you so much for stopping by.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me and everyone listening, and you and everyone will be in my prayers. And really looking forward to it. So God's amazing, huh?
All the time.
God is
all
ever
the time.
New. Yep. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you so much for listening. Our goal at the Diocese of Harrisburg is to walk with you on your faith journey. So if this episode resonated with you in any way, the easiest way to show your appreciation is by sharing this program with your network or by leaving a review on your listening platform. You can also support us financially by making a donation online at hbgdiocese.org/DAC and clicking the Make a Donation button. Thanks again, and we'll see you at church on Sunday.